Hey guys, welcome back to Soul Sisters. This is Jessie Katz here with my co-host Dara Golub and a very, very special guest, Miss Sharon Jones. I have been a huge fan of Sharon Jones and her band The Dap Kings since about the mid-2000s when I first moved to Brooklyn and I found myself awash in the soul music revival that was taking over Brooklyn and continues to. And Sharon and the Dap Kings basically helped usher that era in. She has been singing music and performing her whole life. She's 60 now. She didn't have her first album out till she was 40, but she never gave up. And now she is the epitome and the torchbearer of soul music. She is referred to as the female James Brown, which we talked to her all about. She actually met the man himself. So I was very, very honored to have her on the show. Now, there's a new documentary that's about to hit theaters called Miss Sharon Jones, which chronicles this crazy, difficult, intense year she had in 2013 when she had a new album coming out, Give the People What They Want, and was simultaneously diagnosed with cancer. And the film chronicles her trying to promote the album and continue in her art, all the while battling a very, very serious illness. So that was a few years ago. Sharon came into the studio last week to record this episode with us, and the cancer has come back. And so she is battling again, and she has the most fierce determination and resiliency that I've ever come face to face with. And you know, if anyone can give this the fight of its life, it is Sharon Jones. But you'll hear that, you know, she's in a tough state, and she's still performing. She's still on tour, which is insane, but it makes sense. And we talk about it with her because, you know, during these times, someone like her knows that her music and doing what she loves is the best medicine for her and for us. And this was a really inspirational, moving, difficult, honest, searing conversation that we had. It's hard to meet one of your heroes when they're having that kind of difficult time. But I was just so grateful that she was so honest and shared this moment of her life with us. And she still made us laugh our asses off. And she's still a badass woman. And the epitome of a soul sister through and through. So please listen to this episode and take from it what you can, because, you know, she talks about how important it is for her to share this. It helps her and it helps us. And it's Sharon Jones, and she's amazing. And after you listen to this conversation, go listen to her music if you aren't that familiar, or you probably are if you're listening to this. But either way, Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, always good tunes to put on. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. So here we go. Sharon Jones on Soul Sisters. Let's have a chat, shall we?
I love it.
Sharon Jones, I'm very excited that you're here. When we launched this podcast, I was thinking you would be the epitome of the kind of person that we would like to talk to on the show.
Well, thank you. Now
I feel officially anointed by your presence.
Well, thank you so much.
You're carrying the torch of soul music now.
Yeah, that's the way that's what I'm looking forward to. They need to get a category, a soul music category instead of the R&B.
It's bizarre.
And I would have had a chance of having a Grammy this time instead of being a nominee.
Right.
That's crazy.
It was like that. R&B and you know who I was up against, and everyone that my name was up against was all pop singers, you know. So
yeah,
you know, and then Toni Braxton and Babyface, like, where did they come from?
Straight out of the 90s.
What happened? Where are we? What albums did they do the last couple of years? Yeah, you know, it is what it is. So
yeah,
but I'm a nominee.
Yeah, and what
it's
a
nice
culmination.
To be nominated.
Yeah.
That's right. That got a little, you know, Sharon Jones nominee. Hey,
there you go. That's not nothing.
But it would have been great Grammy winner.
Yeah. I mean, just you'll the cherry there on top of everything. Right. I mean, that year was unreal.
Oh, yeah.
For it to culminate with that.
Yeah, like, everything, even now, the movie out, went back on the road, you know, with Hall and Oates, and I got a European trip coming up. I'm just saying, the European trip, that's me. That's hard work. I hope I'm not feeling the way I'm feeling now.
Yeah.
That's going to be a little hard to do.
So you'll be taking a break from treatment at that time?
I don't know what I'm going to be doing. Mm. A doctor's going to have to work with me, but I'm going to have to, they're going to have to try to do something. Lower this chemo or get me off of it for a while, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the cancer I have is aggressive, so that's what happened. I get off and it starts growing back. This time it came back in three different places, so... the stomach, plus my liver, and they saw a spot on my lungs. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So it's, you're in it.
I'm in it. So it's either what you're going to do, you know, it's how much, what can I take? Do I get to the point and say, look, I don't want any more chemo, I don't want anything else now, just leave me be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I have to, you know, when that time come, I'll decide.
You know?
But, right now, I'm just trying to keep going and keep my fans out there. I'm only going to take, you know, you take as much as you can. And I'm not ready to give up yet.
That's right. Does the performing help you?
Yeah, it gets me because I get on the stage and the pains actually go away for a little while.
Wow. Does it?
Yeah, they go away.
And the energy sort of just it comes. It's
and
that
the
adrenaline.
Audience, and they, you know, and looking in their faces and... You know, that takes away.
And the support and love, and they know what's happening.
Yeah,
so
they know.
They're
and they
there
know,
with you.
And they see me there. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that's one of the things with the movie, one of the reasons why I chose to go ahead on with it, you know, instead of fighting it.
So how did that all happen? What was the genesis of that?
You know, of course, management always comes to you and throws stuff at you. You know, and I always, they say, stop telling people. I said, but that's the truth.
But they want to pretend like it was your,
what? That's the greatest thing in the world. Sure, I'll put a camera in my face while I go through cancer. But, you know, I just like, what? You know, and you know, my management, and I you know, and he was like, you know, talk with them. And once you talk with Barbara and once you see the guys from Cabin Creek, I mean that they were like family to me for the last couple because they was following me, and they respected my wishes, and you could see the love that Barbara has, and the cameraman that they have for them filming. Just like when I'm on that stage with me and the Dap Kings are performing, we, you know, it's nothing more better,
mm-hmm.
and to see that in them and to want to document me and big fans that. That even showed that they put more passion, more love in it. So you can't say no to that. And,
right. Well,
and how can I even regret that, you know?
Yeah.
So no, I'm glad I said yes, and I'm glad everything worked the way it did.
It's a glorious film.
It is a beautiful
It's movie. Really beautiful. I mean, I was even curious if you had planned on doing a documentary before the illness about sort of the release of the album, you know, this next project. I wasn't sure if maybe that was the plan, and then it sort of turned into this, but
no, we never did think about trying because it just seemed like they would never recognize. I mean, I know I've been getting my fan followings, but they have all these shows, these award-winning shows, and they have soul music and people out, but they never asked Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings to come in. Y'all noticed that all these show things. I was like, so when they had this soul thing at the White House, did they invite me or did they know I was on the road?
Yeah.
Like, they never invited y'all. Like, whoa, what is this? You know, am I not a soul singer? You know,
right.
So it just seemed like I've been ignored by that. But
Michelle Obama came to see you, but you weren't invited to the White House. Right.
Right. Right. She came to see me, not Sharon Jones, but of course, John Legend. And we was doing the Marvin Gaye, What's Going On. But still...
Right.
I mean, like, hey, you look me up and say, hey, you know.
I mean, I saw you once in Prospect Park, and I've been the biggest fan ever since then. It only takes once.
What with these people out here, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I accept everything with grace, and I said, you know, maybe I'll do some of these award shows now. Now, don't start inviting me now when I'm all weak and looking, all pitiful looking.
That's how it works,
you know,
right?
You know, and then now you got to go out and put that best for it, you know. Just get me while I was like, yeah, I'm ready. You know, let me show your soul. And, but it's you know, I'm like, again, everything in my life always takes longer to get here. You know, I've always been like that. It just seems like everything is so hard. Whatever I get, I have to work so hard for it.
But you work so hard. You're the most determined.
I mean, work hard. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you come from a family of six siblings,
yeah,
but then also other cousins that you were raised with.
Yeah, my mother raised up my other four cousins. So yeah, and you know, so it's a lot. And like now, that is my family. You know, I have no children. I'm not married, but I have great nephews and nieces and great greats. Can you imagine that?
Great greats. Yeah.
My niece children have had children.
Wow.
So. and that's what I want to, you know, look forward to their future, to make sure they get an education, something I didn't get. Find out a way if they want to go to college, at least they can.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something I got to do now, set up stuff for those younger ones to be able to have something.
Yeah, you did go to college, didn't you?
I went to Brooklyn College for like about a year and a half.
Okay.
Technically, I went.
Because
you know?
I remember that line from the documentary that you were the first in your family.
Yeah, to go to college. Yeah, I was just like going on like, let me tell you, I got in college, you know, like from high school. And actually, one of my chorus teachers had wanted my mother to sign this paper for me for a scholarship. But my mother being not knowing, I'm not going to sign that because that's more money and I can't afford it. I mean, I couldn't even afford my ring from high school because we couldn't afford that mm-hmm. $50-something.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to get my robe and cap and gown, what my mother had to go through with, you know. People don't believe that stuff, the photos, that what you have to do, the money to pay. It seemed like that's something you should have, but it wasn't easy coming up with six kids and welfare and getting out there. And when she was working, she worked as a what they call it, housework. She worked for a Jewish family, sleeping, you know, cleaning their house, raising their kids. And
that was in New York.
Yeah, she stayed away 3 years and came back and got me at the age of three and brought me to New York at 59.
And then where in the city were you living?
Oh, Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. I came, I was right at 912 DeKalb Avenue.
Really?
Between Sumner and Lewis. That was my first
stop. I'm on DeKalb.
I was there when, you know, Kennedy was going and Martin Luther King and they had the ridings and you know, I was there through all that stuff.
Were you
stuff.
Part of it? Did you make yourself? I mean,
no, I was
you...
a little kid. I was too small. You know, my mother made sure we stayed out.
Yeah.
Doing segregation when we was fighting for our rights to vote. I was a little girl. I was all that was happening. All those burning down neighborhoods. Like, why your neighborhood stupid? But that's what they do, you know? And that's just the way it goes. So I've been through all of that stuff, you know? I'm just 60 years old. And when I was in my 50s, I think, you know how hard we fight to vote. Get your butts out there and vote, you know, really.
Yeah.
And, so you didn't study music ever?
No, you know what? In high school, you know, chorus.
Okay.
That was the move. That's close. I got the move. I'll never forget him, Mr. Apicella.
Who was that?
That was
your choir teacher?
My choir teacher, and he taught the music. And my first solo was The Carpenters.
Okay.
And so the choir played, why do birds, honey? And he came, you, Sharon, I was, on the day that you, that was it, boy. I killed that. Yeah. You know that part, you know, and that was my first solo.
Nice. But you knew you could sing before that. I mean, you were singing.
I was that little girl to sing with my sisters and, you know, and in church, you know. I've always been in church singing, so.
Yeah.
But I was ready for that solo that day. Yeah. And then to get in high school and be labeled up. They used to call me the Golden Voice of Jefferson. If you talked about Jefferson High School in New York on Pennsylvania Avenue, if you go inside Jefferson right now, go in the chorus room, and up on that plaque, you see 1974, my name in gold, in letters, Sharon Jones. I need to go back there and visit and take a picture of that.
You should.
Yeah,
just to let the school know, you know, someone did make it.
Exactly.
You know, achieve something.
And like, some.
We all ain't in jail or dead. You know, yeah.
So when you left high school, was your plan to become a professional singer?
You know, yeah, you had that in you to try it and do it. But then when you get knocked down, you know, and people tell you you don't have a look and you watching the soul music thing. I watched the Jackson 5.
Mm-hmm.
Michael go from little, you know, soul singer to a little Prince of Pop, King of Pop, Well, they gave him King of Pop. I would give that to him. And to, yeah, he passed Prince. Prince was Prince. Prince always been a prince. Yeah. Prince always been a prince, and he's, you know, he still is. Went from, you know. But to watch him change, they changed from soul singers. Watch the soul music go away. Watch Mr. Brown's stuff get pushed down, and, you know. Mm-hmm. And to watch some of the singers like Gladys Knight, you know, the Pips, they kept going. They still around, but the music stopped being played. They had to go away and only be at festivals or go to mm-hmm. Europe and, you know, just getting jobs. They wasn't making albums anymore, you know. And, you know, people just stopped doing albums. Yeah. You know? When this late 70s and the 80s came in, you know, a lot of the people from the 60s was gone.
Yeah.
You know. But I was growing up and can imitate and sing everyone. So right. that kept me going. And then to get out here and trying to sing pop, you know, getting into that, like, Black Box and all that, you know, back to the land, you know, and harmonizing, uh-huh. you know, with someone else. I was getting to that, and I thought that was going to work until they told me and my friend that she looked better. She was light-skinned, and I was dark-skinned. I need to bleach my skin and lose some weight.
Wow.
Did they really say that? Wow.
Yeah. When was this?
Like,
what?
Yeah. That was like era. It was in the 80s. Okay. It had to been like the late 70s, early 80s.
Yeah. What were you doing, like session stuff? Or
session
like,
stuff, mm-hmm. yeah, like that. And, you know, going in, I did stuff like, I've even was on Big Daddy Kane album.
Yeah.
My friend, the same girl. I might as well give her props. Her name Monica Hope. And right now she's getting into acting. Her acting career is coming back to her. She's got music in her. She's a writer. And hopefully maybe now she'll get some of her stuff out to writing. But she's doing great. I was just reading about her. And, you know, I follow her. And I still call her up and talk to her, let her know what's going on. But her and I, that happened, and it ended. Her and our relationship as working as musicians together, because we stopped trying to do stuff and we went our merry way, but we stayed friends over all these years.
Mm-hmm.
But now her day is happening, her acting career. That's her nice. Her stuff is coming along, and my stuff has been working at it for the last 20 years, so
yeah.
Everything is good.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah.
Did you consider yourself, were you a working musician throughout, you know, the 80s, or were you?
Oh, I'd continue. I never stopped. Wedding bands, neighborhood bands, you know, just groups. And like I said, doing session work, studio. And you just continue to keep on going, you know.
What was your most requested song at weddings?
Whitney. They used to call me Little Whitney Child.
Yeah?
And believe it or not.
Which Whitney?
Every basically like her for album, everything, like A Few Stolen, that was the first one. And then, believe it or not, The Greatest Love. I sang so Greatest Love so many times that I even had to end up singing it to the inmates. And
before when you were directors?
Yeah.
Because they knew you were a singer. And
they told me that you sing a verse and a chorus of The Greatest Love before we locked up. I'm like, no, you're going to like it. No, you're going to sing. And yes, I sang it, and they locked up. So Whitney thing, and you know, between Whitney and Aretha was my inspiration before Whitney came along, you know, and then the wedding thing would have continued on, but then, you know, you had Christina Aguilera coming out, and what's that other one name?
Brittany,
mm-hmm. and then Jennifer Lopez started killing, and when I had to start singing pop songs like Whitney. Well, the first, A Few Stolen. Once that, no, that other. Look like it's fatal, it's all the way. Then I start going pop. Yeah, all right. Then they wanted me to sing Jennifer Lopez. Whoa, whoa, waiting for tonight. I'm like, okay. Jennifer, she's great. What she's doing, I love her. You know, but
yeah.
My wedding band looked at my band. I was like, you know what? It's time for me to leave this right now. I think I got to let this wedding stuff go.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give these band, these guys, these Dap Kings, which people told me I needed to, quit that band and leave that promise along that I was going to make it with that. Like some of, you know, people have said, who's going to come out to see my old ass? Who's going to come and see you, you know? You know, and it was like, and that band doing James Brown stuff, you know, female James Brown. Who's laughing now?
But that's right.
Everyone that laughed and said that to me, and I looked at them like, excuse me, I need to get a 9 to 5. Yo, I think I need to get from around you. Whether that was my mother, my family, mm-hmm. I don't care who. It's time for me to get from around you.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. This is my life here.
Yeah. Was there anyone in your life encouraging you?
Oh, yeah. You know, okay. I've had my mother. No, my mother, the one that told me when that guy told me that I was too short, too fat, too black, you know, pay him no attention because, you know, God got it. At first, they were a little skeptical of me going out to Europe and come back and still borrow money. I would go away with the Dab Kings to Europe and come back home and go to church and like, hey, Deke, I need $250, you know. Because the money I made over in Europe, we spent it. It was like making $50 a night or yeah. whatever, you know. And you were over there for like, you know, the money goes.
Right.
Yeah. And so I remember coming home quite a few times, borrowing money from my deacon. And then it got to a point where I stopped and I was so happy when I didn't have to do that. And,
I'm sure.
And now look at this. I'm making a living doing what I'm doing. Yeah.
So how did you find the Dap Kings? How did that all come together?
My ex used to play sax. Uh-huh. And Gabe and those guys, they were always doing 45s and fooling people with 45s. For them to think these 45s was done in the 60s, they wouldn't put, you know, dates on it. And people are like, oh, wow. You know, even DJ, what's his name, Gray Boy, found one of my albums. He thought I was like, recorded this stuff in the 60s. He's like, how old is she now? About in her 60s, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like in my 30s like you.
It's just so authentic sounding, though.
Yeah,
like, you understand
yeah.
that. You know?
Yeah, so he took that, my dap dipping, and I did that stuff with him. The song, actually, I did with him. I wrote that song. I forgot the name of it already. But anyway. And
so this was like early 2000s?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Late 90s, early 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the soul revival hadn't quite hit
yet.
Oh,
no. Gabe and was just still, we were still Desco.
Yeah.
They wasn't even called the Dap Kings mm-hmm. then. And Desco Records, they wasn't even Daptone. And so they would just put out these fake things. Because
they just really loved the style,
they,
right?
Yeah, they had put out Soul Tequila, that Doctari album, like they was African, like Afrobeat. And all the young white boys, if they took on African names or made up some name.
Did they have a singer before?
No, it was like all basically instrumental. Mm-hmm. But they were dealing with Lee Fills,
right,
who sound like James Brown at the time. Mm-hmm. So then Gabe wrote some song like Switchblade and The Landlord and Take It or Leave It. And he wanted three girls to do background. So my ex said, well, my lady can sing it. So Gabe was like, well, hey, I like, how much you gonna pay each singer? So, well, you can save yourself maybe $50 and pay me this, and I can do all three part harmonies. And that's how I met Gabe. And I went in the studio to do that. Ended up doing Switchblade. And then maybe a few months later, or no, I would say maybe about a year or so later, he's like, hey, I'm getting a band together. We're gonna go to Europe and we're gonna call ourselves the, you know, Soul Providers. And they started out with Soul Providers featuring Sharon Jones. And that didn't seem to attract too many people. And it's no, because once I went out and they said Sharon Jones, I sang, they had to change that to Sharon Jones.
Oh, that's what the show is.
Yeah. 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 Sharon Jones and the Soul Providers. So, uh-huh. And things started changing and that's when I did my first Dap Dipping album. I mean, if you're listening to that album now, to see how far we've come from Dap Dipping to now, it's amazing.
Yeah. How do you think it's different?
Oh, you just listen to it.
Okay. Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Had you already developed the sort of style and the rhythmic and the dancing and all of the showmanship that you have now?
Some of the stuff, yeah, I was even into more. I would go out and make stuff up at the top of my head. And the dances, so yeah. And then finally I put that in the act. I'm like, yeah, it's going to be in our act from now on. You know, you know, I'm going to have to dance here. I'm going to show them dances from back in time. And you know, and that's how that that became part of who we are, and that's so, how we gave 20 years.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
so he was, how old was he when you started?
He was like about 22, between 21 and 22. And yeah. Homer, my drummer, was like 16.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like they were like, what, 37, 38 now.
Can you remember what you thought back then? Were you like, yeah, all right, this first, is going to be fun for a little while? Or
nope. The first thought when I saw them, I'm like, what do little young white boys know about soul music? You know? And it was a challenge watching them learn. Homer would lose those beats, you know. But he would study Jabo and James Brown, two drummers. He had two. I always remember Jabo. I can't remember the other guy's name. But he would study those guys. They would study the JBs, James Brown, and they listened to nothing but that music, soul music, and that's how they became who they are. They've always been into soul music, so they wanted to play it, and as you can see, it became part of them. Shut my mouth saying what those little young white boys know about soul music.
But when you guys finally gelled, how did that feel to finally?
I knew it was like a glove. It was like Gabe wrote most of those songs at the beginning.
But and for now, you to be doing your own material with them, owning your
it was act. Damn material. But I would just go like, damn is hot. I just made that up on the spot. I came in one evening. I was working for Wells Fargo Armed Security, so I had on my little security uniform, my little gun hanging on my side, and my 38. I was like, yeah, I got 338. So they three. I was like, yeah, 38, 38D. And
that's a good one.
And I came in there, and it was like in this little raggedy studio, probably because you know the money was really hard.
That was before Daptone Studio. Oh yeah, okay.
And they were in there recording, and they had to turn the air conditioner off because they were like, the air conditioner making such noise. Yeah. So they had to turn the air conditioner off whenever we was recording. So they had turned it off, and I'm like, damn, it's hot in here. I mean, why is it so hot? And they're like, oh, you know, air conditioner. I'm like, what's the name of the song? They said, we don't have a name of the song. I said, well, guess what? Got one now. And I'm like, I'm going to go, ooh, I'm burning up. And y'all go, damn, it's hot. And that's how we got the first song out, my first, you know, writing it. And then Gabe started writing stuff. And he would just write stuff. And if it didn't make sense to me, or if he tried to use words that I thought that improper, like trying to sound like a black person or something like that. I'm like, I don't talk like that. You know, I don't use that, you know, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So he writes music and lyrics for a lot.
Oh,
a lot
a lot. And I always add in, maybe turn the lyric around.
Sure.
You know, they have his melody. You go from what he, they're not soul singers, so they can't. You know, you hear your music and you hear what you want to hear and you harm it out to me. I may not, but then I have to bring that song. I have to make it mine. And that's what they allow me to do that. When they get to the point to try to teach me note by note how to sing a song, I'm not going to do it. You get somebody else to do that. Cause you want to teach someone how to sing, you teach them how to sing soul.
Right.
But you can't teach me. You let me do what I'm going to do. And that's what they allow.
Yeah.
And long as they allow that, I'll be singing for them. If they get cocky on me, I will not do their stuff either.
And so, you're saying that, but you, I mean, you're family by now. You know.
They know better. Know better. They know they write this song. Let Sharon hear it. Let her hear it.
Do they play it and sing it for you, or do they record it, or what?
They play it and sing it. Sometimes they record it, but most of the time they'll play it. The last thing they like for me to be in the studio. We had one of our albums before. I wasn't able to get there when I was going through, find out I was sick and, you know, missed the putting down the album. And they had Sandra, my background singer, just like do like a scratch. And it was okay, but it was hard for me because I just had to like, you have to take the vocal out. Like, I can't listen to it. She did what she did her way, but that's not how I'm going to do that.
Right.
And that's not how I would have approached that. So I had to do it all over again, and it was a little tough having the vocals already down and then me to go back and do them over. So now we try to be there, and they hum it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear where you want to, where I think he wants to go, and I do what I do. So, yeah.
Yeah. So when you guys put out your first album, did you start doing small shows around New York? Or what?
Oh, actually, in Europe. We started in Europe more. Europe. Then we always were doing little clubs in black cat. I mean, clubs like no bigger than this room right here.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
You know, and then we got
you
to
just
the
do
bar
your own booking
with,
and
yeah, Gabe, those guys, Neil was booking. They was they was doing everything and driving and you know all everything, getting the plane tickets. They was doing everything until
they just tell you where to go and when.
Yeah, finally, finally we got up and you know and they grew. And finally, we hired people to start doing that stuff.
Yeah.
And got managers. And
yeah, when did Alex come on board?
Well, Alex been on board with me for, I can't even remember now. But he came on with those guys. When Alex came on, that's when we became that tone.
That's when the studio?
The studio,
all of that happened?
Yeah, because while we were Desco, Alex wasn't there. And he was, because Alex also manages Daptone and he manages me. So,
because he seems like an incredible
I went to him and told him I needed a manager, and he started managing me. And that's when everything, as you see, started. Like you saw I slumped back just now. This guy comfy.
I'm going to pull up.
There you go. Then I can slump back now.
Slump forward.
Yeah, and that's how that all started.
So was it like a group conversation, a band conversation about making the studio and making a whole label and the whole other enterprise?
That Gabe's get together. They started, you know, when it comes time to an album, you know, they put time aside, and it's hard getting us all together. When we're touring all the time, and the guys come in, they write stuff. You got an idea for a song, they'll come in with their song, and or some days we'll come in and just start stuff from there and write stuff from scratch. They'll switch up, the drummer get on the guitar, and the guitar get on the drums. You know, everybody switch up instruments, and yo, check this out, doom 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 doom, and they play something, or somebody get on the keyboard. And then we go like, hey, and then either someone will come in the next day with some lyrics, or we write some lyrics right there. I'll come up with something, and it's all different. Each time we go in, we don't have a certain way we do. It's different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then at a certain point, you actually built a studio.
And we build that. Oh yeah. actually, coming up, when I met them at Desco, I told you they was renting the studio, the first little studio they built where we did our dap dipping. That was another built studio. Amayo from Auntie Ballers, he had a room, a little basement, that the tall trumpet player, what's his name, start with a J. When he walked in, he bent over because he couldn't stand up straight in the basement. And it was in a little room, and Gabe and them built this little studio. And that's how we recorded. Dab dipping was actually done in a homemade studio that we had built in the basement.
Where is that, in Brooklyn?
It was in Williamsburg. I forgot the name of the street, but it used to be a Miles apartment house.
Okay.
That's been years ago, child. Nobody lives there anymore.
Yeah.
And then they found this little raggedy place over on Troutman, that raggedy building. And that's now that.
That's where it is now.
Oh, is that?
And Gabe went in and tore the ceilings down and the floor is out, and the studio where our recording was, like, if you rip that floor up, it got tires, car tires, and inside those car tires are a bunch of clothes stuffed in to get a muffled sound, a certain sound.
Cool.
Yeah. And then I have corked in those walls and put those electrical plugs in.
Yeah.
I mean, you were making something so special. I mean, it's like a lost art.
Oh yeah, so when it came together and they turned all that power on and every plug worked and everything worked, and then we did our song.
Yeah, so they described that in the movie, that the way you guys record is very unusual these days.
Like analog, like they used to record back in the day.
My band that I sing with recorded at Daptone.
Oh, there you go.
Unfortunately, before I was a part of it. Right before I was a part of Lily and the Parlor Tricks, that they recorded at Daptone and it was such a special EP because, I mean, we came up as live performers. It wasn't the opposite. It wasn't like, oh, we're going to, you know, be in the studio and then figure out how to perform. It was really a live show that we wanted to turn into a recording.
Recording, So and you knew what you had.
Exactly.
Already.
So
and
it was the perfect.
Songs over and over. Mm-hmm. So you didn't spend much time just went in like, pow,
just
pow,
go
pow.
In and do it. And
yeah. And sometimes that's how we do our recording too. Some of those songs we write, we'll add them into our set, and then we go in the studio and put them on the album. It's done because I've sang them at shows.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
But and then, I mean, when did you realize, oh, okay, this is going to be a real institution and a place for people and artists to come that's right this special?
Right after I, with the desk going, I saw that we were, like when Mark Ronson came to them and Amy Winehouse, and I was like, you know what, man, this is the last job I'm going to get, Gabe. This is it. We gotta start doing something with this.
Here. All about sharing.
This is not a game anymore. Yeah. Y'all gotta make this real and really. That's when Daptone. We made a name for Daptone. I was there, helped name it, so they didn't discover me. You know, we've always been around each other. We came up with Daptone. I am part of Daptone.
Yeah, and I mean, in what? How many years it's been? It's like an institution.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and I sit back and add it up, and 2016 we got together like. 96, mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, could have been a little earlier, but I know before we did anything, 96, and here it is 20 years later.
Yeah. I also feel like you guys helped usher in this new era for Brooklyn.
We did. Oh, I say Brooklyn and also for soul music.
Yeah.
I think we had a lot to do with keeping the vinyl alive.
For sure. When you guys got big, that's when we were all listening to vinyl again.
Yeah. And Gabe was like, what are we going to do now? The vinyl companies are going out of business and blah, 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 blah. But we hung strong and they picked up again.
You know,
DJs.
Yeah.
You know, and then all the artists start, like, we got to record on albums. We can't just, like, let them get rid of vinyls. So, yeah.
Right. Do you have a huge vinyl collection?
No, I don't. No. I didn't collect like the guys did.
Yeah.
My mother probably got a few albums. I got it in the garage that I haven't went through a lot of stuff. And I would like to do it and then maybe have Gabe and those guys to go through it. They probably have a ball.
Probably.
See what my mom's got.
It's probably good stuff in there.
Yeah, probably is.
What was she listening to when you were
school child, everything, up. All that stuff. Anything that was out at the day you get the top, the billboards.
Yeah.
And the top 100 songs. That's what everybody listened to. Mm-hmm. You only had a couple of radio stations. It wasn't like nowadays you got hundreds of stations. It was like maybe 2-3 stations.
Yeah.
And you listen to that, and they played everything. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like soul station, pop station, hip hop, rap. Yeah. You heard everything on one station. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you still like singing gospel?
Oh, yeah. That'll never stop. I just don't sing it because I don't get to be in the church. My next goal, that's one of my goals too, is to get a gospel album out.
Oh yeah,
movie
that was the most powerful.
You singing
scene?
His eyes on the sparrow in church.
My god,
yeah, that was deep, and that I was overcame. You know, mm-hmm. that wasn't an act.
Yeah,
and it really. I mean, you see that's also a place that you go to on stage.
Oh yeah,
that would have, you know, you would have learned that from there, and that the music is healing.
And when I do that in there, that's for real on stage. On stage.
Right. It's a different feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a difference.
That was... Really? Yeah. Was that a church that you go to a lot?
Oh, that's my church.
That's your church.
I started going to that church when I was like 13, 14. And so I'm 60 now, so I'm still affiliated with it.
Do you go a lot?
No,
when
I
you're
don't.
In town?
I don't. No. I don't. I'm not in New York that often now.
Right.
So I'm down south, so it's a couple of churches. My church that I went to as a little girl... where I did my first solo, it's right down the hill from my house.
Yeah.
So every once in a while, I'll pop my head up in there or I go to visit a church somewhere. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Has all of the battling illness made you more religious, less religious?
Oh, you never lose your faith. You know, whether you're in a church or not, you don't lose your faith. I don't lose my connection between me and God. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, the sickness is even more. Because you're more called on him. Lord, I know you got this. You know, you're constantly throwing those prayers up, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they say, take it to the altar, leave it. I left it there, but every once in a while I said, Lord, get me through this night. You go, you know, get me through this, my feet are, take this pain away, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And it seems it happens every time I step on that stage. I'm able to, the pain goes away.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's so many different powerful moments in the movie and things that seem just impossible and really hard, and you come through as this tremendous power. But one moment that was interesting, at the end of the film, you almost think that it's going to end on the Beacon show.
Oh, yeah. And then we go back to the hospital.
Where the lyrics are hard to come by and the energy's hard. And it's like, how did that feel? Because, you know, you're sick and there was an issue there that was real. But the feeling of being on stage and not being able to have control as you've always had, that to me was like, oh God, like that felt so.
It's crazy.
Hard.
That's how it's even hard now. Because now I have no control and I'm trying to fight through these pain pills and fight through the pain that I'm going through in my feet and my legs and stuff and trying to, you know, dance. I mean, that's hard. Then it was just a matter of, I guess, chemo brain. I just couldn't.
Right. It's been a while.
And we couldn't afford at the time to have the monitors there with my lyrics running up, you know.
Oh, you can do that sometimes?
Yeah, well, you can do that.
Oh
yeah, Charlie. But it takes money for that. So yeah. That's something you don't, you know, you gotta, you know.
But was that something you immediately said, oh, okay, I'll get through this? Or were you like, oh, you know,
I'm gonna get through it. Yeah. I know Gabe told me, you're gonna get through it.
Yeah.
You remember it. And they share, if you don't remember, do like you do, make up something.
Because that's the one thing, it's healing.
Yeah.
Doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I do make up something every once in a while. I'll be like, as long as you're in the right key.
Yeah, but that's every performer, right?
It's totally.
Everyone does that.
You know,
everyone has a moment.
Some of them don't, though. Some of them. I'll get that moment. I forgot these lyrics right now. I ain't joking. Go to another song. You know, it's just
move along.
You know, come right. on, move along. Don't make me stand here and look crazy. It happens.
Ooh, but then by the end. And you're touring all around the world.
Oh, yeah, that
and
was,
you're just more energetic. And
yeah. I was getting like up. Really so great, that's why when ending. It came back again, it was like a blow to me. It was like, no. When the doctor told me, I was in the office and I really found out. I was all on the floor. I was just crying. I didn't care who saw me.
Yeah. When was that?
A few months ago.
Okay. When did the movie finish shooting?
Well,
a couple of years,
2014, yeah. End of 2014,
2014,
okay,
beginning 15, because they came back 15 and catch me down south at the at the hospital, thing.
Right,
and right before the Grammys, before I won my, that was that show,
right, that show in the red dress.
Ooh. That was the day before, and the next morning I got up, didn't even get up, I went straight like airport, and flew into LA, and they flew me to the Grammys.
Okay,
so, yeah. So yes. that would have been great, like I said, to have been Grammy, but to be nominated, that was good.
Yeah, you keep working on that.
I'll
line.
Go back to that again. To be a nominee is
to
good.
Be a nominee,
it's but
yeah,
it's good.
Did Barbara sort of say, "Okay, I think we're done," or was she? How did you know, like, when it was
well,
time
they,
to be?
They knew that it was done there, you know, because we had reached what we said we was going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
Then when it came back, that was a different story, but they still. Put that in there too. Got a way to put that. You know, they said Sharon had. They found spots, yeah. And she gave the okay. Yeah,
yeah.
You know, that was that.
That was nice with
yeah.
Austin is
yeah Austin yeah. And you know, and I know what the doctors told me about this cancer. You know, it's an aggressive cancer. You know, and it will come back. You know, and you hear stuff, but then you also say they with the work that they're doing. You know. They keep coming up with more cures, maybe. Mm-hmm,
exactly.
Maybe by then that they'll still get something.
Yep.
But if not, I'm going to do until I can't do. And time come, I'll be ready for whatever.
There you go.
Be ready to go home or be ready to stay here, whichever. I'm ready.
Did you get final say on the movie? Did they show it to you?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to see.
Yeah.
See it before they put it out, because I'm glad I didn't, because there was one scene I probably would have asked them to change.
Oh yeah.
And that was the scene where I cursed the band out.
Oh, that was a great scene.
I know, see? Can you imagine that not being in there?
Exactly. You know what? Because by the end, and because we're getting to know you in this film, and then we already know that that's how you're feeling, but that there's still so much love, and it's not real. It's not an actual anger.
Me, you know, the one thing that I wanted
that
of them is to eat, to sit down. That was my Thanksgiving, and I'm away, and I'm sick. And you guys around your family, and I'm not, you know. And you said we was going to eat dinner. Then you change it. One guy, Dave guy.
Yeah, that was a really nice thing about the movie, about how you all care for each other.
Yeah. And then Dave got, you saw at the end, he left us and went to the Roots.
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there.
That's cool.
Yeah. You know, he's happy. Yeah. You know, everybody's happy. You saw he was in the commercial with us.
Oh, yeah. So you have a new song out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he subbed out that day and put his behind on that commercial with us.
That's funny. But that's nice that you guys have that. It's like a single out now. It's on Spotify.
It's its own thing.
It's cool. Yeah.
Did another cover of the Allman Brothers. I had.
Yeah.
You know, I was familiar with them, but you know, I've heard that song, but I wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah. It sounds like a Sharon Jones song now.
Yeah, come on. I made it mine.
Yeah, you did.
No, but I did. I basically stuck close to him. I didn't try to take it anywhere differently. You know, I just. Run, keep on hiding. You know, I just put it up in there.
Yeah.
Then try to take it away. When something is good, you don't need to change it up too much. You know, you just do it.
Yeah.
But I've had fun changing some songs, like the way Gabe rearranged What Have You Done For Me Lately. With, that one, Janet Jackson. And then Prince cover. Take Me With You. Have you heard that one?
No, I don't think so.
Look it up.
Okay.
All right, you know, Prince, Take Me With. Yeah, how'd that go? Down, down. Or have it go? I turned it around. It sounded like something the JBs and James Brown would do.
Nice. Uh-huh.
And the band be answering me. I'd be like, can't remember. They go, yeah. No. Yeah.
Did you ever get to meet James Brown?
I got to meet him when I was a young girl.
Really?
With my dad. I went to a show and I was like eye level of the stage, and all I remember is like he's floating, you know. And I remember looking at my dad like, hey dad, he's floating, you know, his feet not touching the ground, you know. And then again, when the picture they have of me on our page, we was in Perugia, Italy, and believe it or not, that was April of 2006, and he passed away December of 2006.
Wow.
So yeah, I met him like in Italy. Not in Augusta. Yeah, not in
that's funny.
You know,
did he know you're the female him?
You know, no, I was trying to let him know real fast. His wife, that is, I jumped in the car with her. And I was like, you tell your husband. I'm Sharon Jones. They call me the female James Brown. And she's like, did I see you on TV? She kept interrupting me. Are you a comedian? Like, no. But then when you tell your husband, they're like, you sure I didn't see you on TV? No, you didn't see me on TV. Maybe you did. Maybe you saw me in some night show or something like that. But, you know. And then he came out like, forget it. I'll tell him. And I jumped out and took that picture with him. And I was proud.
All right. Well, you got a picture.
It.
That's good.
Yeah, that was it. I got a picture. Yeah. But now I know his daughters.
Oh, yeah?
Deanna Brown. And they work with the kids down in Augusta called JAMP, James Brown Academy Music Pupils. Nice. It's a whole school. And those kids play James Brown stuff, funk music. Like, they play his songs. And if you close your eyes, you would think there was adults playing it. And they like little kids. And each kid is learning theory. They learn how to read music. And they learn how to play more than one instrument.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah. Continuing on the tradition.
And I hope to get to be part of it and maybe go in and teach them singing soul music.
Oh.
You know?
Amazing. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Any final questions over there?
How long are your shows typically?
Hour and a half.
Oh, man.
I thank God that these shows I'm doing with, I'm hauling those are just 40 minutes. I'm like, thank you.
You gotta do what you gotta do, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because I can just go out and...
Hour and a half is brutal.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
For anybody.
We may have to break that down in the future, you know, when I get back out.
Yeah.
You know, because we got Star and Sanj, so they can come out and they can do some of their stuff, you know, and... The band can play a good half an hour. Just give me like an hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Break it down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. There you go.
Bring the heat.
Yeah.
Yep. Awesome.
All right. Sharon.
That's it. See?
This has been such an honor. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you guys. I enjoy talking about what I do and my music anytime I can get a chance to do it. You know, like some people complain. I mean, sometimes, you know, interviews, just your days off and this, but you know what? Thank you guys for being fans and wanting to get myself out there. So I thank every interview, every magazine, every radio station.
We want you to we want you to keep making music forever.
I'm going to try to keep as long as I can.
Yeah.
All right, and so thank you for that film. It's really, right, yeah, really,
so the
beautiful.
Movie is called Miss Sharon Jones. Mm-hmm. It opens in New York on July 29th, LA August 5th, and other cities on other dates.
Yeah.
Go find it, guys. It's a great music movie. It's inspiring. It's touching. You'll cry, but you'll also laugh a lot, as you can tell from listening to this conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's fun.
Thank
it's fun.
You, Sharon.
Yeah, thank you very much.